We have come to now, really, in this series where we looked at the Trinity. What is the Trinity? And then we looked at the Father and all the various aspects of that. And then we looked at the Son, and we just completed that. So this is really part four in the series on the Trinity, on God, if you will, knowing God and looking at all of the different facets of the triune God. So tonight we began looking at God the Holy Spirit. God the Holy Spirit. And do you have that, Mason? Is it up there? I can't see. It is? Okay. So God the Holy Spirit. This study is going to include these things. And remember, you well know by now that there's overlap. I mean, if you're talking about one aspect of the Holy Spirit, you're looking at other things that are applicable in other areas, so you can note those. But I'm going to try to emphasize whatever that area is. We will try to emphasize it. And even though there's other things there, we'll mention and note and so forth. But it's all with the idea of emphasizing the area that we're looking at. So we will talk about the personality of the Holy Spirit, meaning his personality, personhood. If you have a personality, you are a person. So we're talking about his person. We talk about the deity of the Holy Spirit. So we have the Trinity. Trinity is not a word that appears in the Scripture, but it is a word that encapsulates that there are three that have all of the attributes of deity. And so that term is just to encapsulate that. So you have one who is God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, and the Trinity encapsulates that dynamic and that reality. And then we'll look at the witness of the Holy Spirit in the Old Testament. So what does the Old Testament say? And it is not as fleshed out as the New Testament, which you would assume because Revelation is progressive. And then we'll look at the witness of the New Testament. We will look at his titles. So remember, we looked at the titles of the Father. We looked at the titles of Christ and so forth. And we will look at his relationships. And then we will look, lastly, at his character. His character. So tonight we're looking at the personality of the Holy Spirit. The personality. So here's the challenge when you're talking about the Holy Spirit. The challenge with regard to Christ is his nature of being God and man. The challenge of the Holy Spirit is whether he is a person or a force. So if you'll recall, all of the time, all the way through, we're talking about Christ, and it has something to do with his nature. That he's fully God, fully man. They don't commingle. So one heresy says, yeah, he was a man and he wasn't really God. And the others say, well, he was a God and his humanity was a phantom. So it's always about that. When you're dealing with Christ, it's always about his two natures. Two natures in one person. That's where all the heresies are. All of the difficulty of understanding the person of Christ because he's unique. Everything relates to that. When you come to the Holy Spirit, the issue is very different. The issue has been whether it's heresies, whether it's fully coming to understand who and what he is. It is he a person? See, this is the first question. Is he a person or is he an it? So, is he a person, or is he just a force? So, is there a God, and then the force, the power, is called the Holy Spirit? Or is the Holy Spirit an attribute of God? So, these are the things that get thrown out there. Well, the Holy Spirit, we believe in the Holy Spirit, but the Holy Spirit is an attribute of God. Or the Holy Spirit is the force, the power, the working power of God. And so, again, this has been the issues of trying to understand that. And the only way we can do that is look at the Scripture, let the Scripture speak, and it is very clear. It is very clear. It is not ambiguous. We don't have one verse that we go to to try to figure that out. And let me just say, we often, and this is just the way it is because of our memory, I think, but often we're referring to certain verses to speak to certain issues because they're well known. Now, John 3:16, we do it, but John 3:16 is not the only salvation verse in the Bible, but we just all know it, so we refer to it over and over and over. John 8:58 on the deity of Christ, see? And then one of the verses we'll look at tonight, one that we refer to over and over and over, about the Holy Spirit, because they kind of encapsulate several things that come up a lot, and we don't have time to go into all of the details in order to establish and corroborate these ideas, but we are with this. So, the personality of the Holy Spirit. And as you remember, and I want you, you can take your Bible and turn to John chapter 16 and verse 13. We look at scriptures because you need to see this. You need to see the Bible says this and how repeatedly it says it and how undeniably it says it. So, and some of these verses we'll touch on back and forth, and we're going to hang right in here in the John area. So if you find John, you're going to be with us. So John chapter 16, verse 13. Is he a personality, is he a force, or is he an attribute? So I want to really highlight that. So verse 13, but when he, not it, when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you. So the force doesn't guide you. You Star Wars people and all of that stuff, you're off base. I'm just telling you, don't bring that in here. The force doesn't guide you, but a guide guides you. A guide is what guides you. When you go somewhere and you want to be led somewhere, you don't get a force, you get a guide. And that guides a person. So he says, he will guide you into all truth. He has to know truth to guide you in truth, see? And knowing is what? A characteristic of a person, a personality. For he will not speak on his own initiative. So he speaks. This is what a personality does. And I'm using personality and person interchangeably here. But this is what a personality does. He speaks. So he guides you into truth. He knows truth. And he speaks. But he will not speak on his own initiative. Just like Christ didn't, because the Father is the one that's in charge of the salvific plan. But whatever he hears, so there again, he hears. It's a characteristic not of a force, not of a wind, but of a person. He will speak, and he will disclose to you what is to come. So he discloses things, which means that he has things. So, well, I'll let you know later about that. I'm going to disclose that to you. But I already have it in me. I have that knowledge and awareness. I just haven't disclosed it. I just disclosed information to you, but I've had that information for some time. So he has it in him, and he guides out of that, and he speaks out of that, and he listens to the Father and so forth. So this verse alone contradicts the notion that the Spirit is no more than an attribute or a force. I mean, it would be just on your own impossible to read that verse and come up with, well, he must be an attribute of God, or it must be an attribute of God, or a force. You just don't get that from the first. These are deduced by people who do not accept the full revelation of God. And one of the reasons they do this, not the only reason for sure, but one of them is because they can't figure it out on their own. They can't reason to it. But remember, revelation is not contradictory to reason, but reason cannot get you to everything that revelation teaches. It cannot get you. You can't sit here and reason that God is a Trinity. You can't sit here and reason that Jesus Christ would be born of a virgin. But once you get there, it's not unreasonable. It's not contra reason. But reason will only take you so far. So revelation reveals more. And they want only what they can reason to. And so that would be classic liberals and others. And then there are cults that have all kinds of things. Now, so remember that verse. And then look back to chapter 14 and verse 26. Chapter 14, verse 16. So he says, I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may be with you forever. Now, I want you to just keep your place here in John, so don't lose it. But in the meantime, you can turn over to Galatians chapter 1 for by way of illustration. So what you have here is, I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper. The word another there is the Greek word allos, A-L-L-O-S, and it means another of the same kind. So I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper like me, same kind as I am. So if you're reading this verse, and you know that Jesus is a person, and that he is God, and he's a part of the Trinity, the Holy Spirit is one just like that. And then the word helper is the word parakletos, and it's one called alongside to help. Sometimes translated comforter. And so the Holy Spirit is one. And by the way, that same designation is used of Christ in the Old Testament, that he's the comforter. So again, you see the inner Trinitarian work in our life. But here, so I'm leaving. So Christ is leaving, and this is disrupting their life. And John 14, 15, 16 are a lot about this, preparing them. And other places, like in Mark chapter 14, I believe it is, about prayer and stuff. That's all changing because he's leaving. So he's trying to prepare them for this change in their relationship to him and how they're going to pray and how they're going to get their information and how they're going to ask questions. All of this is changing. Because he's going to be gone. So you can imagine it's just totally disrupting of everything. And so he promises, I will ask the Father, and he will give you another of the same kind of comforter, one that's called alongside to help, one that will walk with you, one that will help you in all of the different ways, that he may be with you forever. I'm leaving. See? But he's going to be with you forever. You're not going to experience this again. But I have to leave. And you'll see why in just a moment, a little bit of it. But I have to leave. But I'm not leaving you alone. You are getting another comforter that is the same as me. He's a person. Christ is a person. And ultimately, deity. Now, so that word, another, is the reason we know it's of the same kind, it's the word allos in the original. So here's a great example of that in Galatians chapter 1 and verse 6. Paul said, I am amazed that you are so quickly deserting him who called you by the grace of Christ for a different gospel. That is the word heteros. Heteros. We get the word heterosexuality, see, of a different kind. Heteros. Verse 7. Which is really not another. That's the word allos. See what he just did? He said, you're leaving not for another one, but of a different kind. Because the one you're leaving for is not the same kind. It's not another like the gospel. It's a different gospel entirely. So that's the two words used right there together in two verses that I'm amazed at you quickly deserting him who called you by the grace of Christ for a different gospel. You're leaving the gospel not for another gospel like that one, but for an entirely different gospel verse 7, which is really not another gospel. It's not even a gospel. There's only one gospel, see? So there's the two words, heteros and allos, used together. One of them means of a different kind, and the other one means of the same kind. So in this, Jesus is leaving, and he promises them that the Father's going to give you another comforter. There's not going to be this. You're not going to go down. You're not going to be dependent on yourself, but another one. And he's going to be with you forever. You're not going to experience this change ever again, but it's necessary now. And in that, again, you see he, you see another of the same kind, so there's the personhood, and that he may be with you forever. And then verse 17, that is the Spirit of truth. So now he's designating him, and this is a powerful thing that the Holy Spirit does, that he brings truth in many different ways. So who led the people writing the scripture? The Holy Spirit. He brings truth. Who brings truth, and we'll see in conviction, who brings truth about Christ? So he is the Spirit of truth. This is his a major role, is of bringing truth. And the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it does not see him. No wonder they're confused. They don't know him. No wonder they're confused. But you do know him. You know him. Because he abides with you and will be in you. So that's the first inkling, I think, where we learn about this relationship that is really drastically different than anything that's gone on before. And that is where that we not only have the human soul and the body and the human spirit and so forth, we not only have a spirit in us that we're born again, newly created, but this is different. This is the Holy Spirit coming to live in us. So you actually, when you become a believer, we talked about this morning things, but here it is the Holy Spirit coming to live in you. So the triune God is living in you. You cannot deny the reality of the Holy Spirit who lives in you. That's what he's saying. They don't know him because he's over here. They're here. They don't know him. They've not seen him. But you have, because he's in you. So it's one of those things that I say, and I just believe with everything in me, and I have found it in all study of apologetics or logic or anything you're doing, I cannot prove that I am a Christian and that God saved me, but I cannot deny it because of the internal reality. I cannot deny that. I just can't, no matter what happens, see. I may not be faithful to it. I may not be able to articulate it. You may say, well, I don't see it in your life. All kinds of things can happen, but I cannot deny it. And that's what he's talking about. You're going to have this person in you, and you know him. Verse 26. But the helper, that's that same word, parakletos, the one called alongside, that's coming along to help you because I'm leaving. The Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things. Now remember, he was called the Spirit of Truth, see? So he's a teacher. And that's brought out in 1 John 2. You have the Holy Spirit to teach you, so he's a teacher. And he will bring to remembrance all that I said to you. Now, so we said he's the Holy Spirit, he's the revealer of truth, he is a person, he is deity, and his primary role, or one of his primary roles, as you'll see, is to call every bit of attention away from himself to Christ. That's the primary thing that he does. But one of the primary things is that he reveals truth, and that would be revealing truth. That's revealing the one who is the truth, you see. So he's still doing the same thing. But he reveals truth. And so verse 26 of chapter 14 and verse 13 of chapter 16 are two of the most powerful verses on the inspiration of Scripture. two of the most powerful. Remember whom he's speaking to in this. He's speaking directly to the apostles. So it is directly that he's making these promises to. Now it has application to us, but it is applicatory. It is not interpretive. We don't interpret it with us there first. You ask, what did the author mean by what he said to the people to whom he spoke? That's interpretation. Application is answering the question, now what does that mean to me, you see? So in interpretation, he's writing to the apostles. They're the ones that are going to inscripturate the truth of God in what we now call the New Covenant. So all that we're reading and all in the New Covenant is going to be written down by these apostles. Now, they're wonderful people, I suppose, but they're just average. I mean, Paul was exceptional in many ways, but he's not exceptional enough to do what he's being called to do, and he knows that, and we know that. But they're average people, so you're wondering, and so what is the argument against the inspiration of Scripture? Well, it's written by men. I mean, that's what always comes up. It's the same old thing. But it was inspired by God. That's the issue. So you ask, well, how could these men do it? It's all answered in these two verses. Look at this verse again. Because I just can't bypass this. I have to say something. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things. So how many things do they need to know to write the New Testament? How many? Well, whatever they need to know, it's in the all. So we're not dependent on them. I'm not dependent upon Mark. I'm not dependent on Matthew or Peter or any of them. I'm not dependent upon Paul. I'm dependent on the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit said, look, I'm going to teach you all. Everything you need to know, it'll come from me. You don't have to go back to school. You don't have to go get a book. You don't have to try to figure it out. You don't have to go read the philosophies. I'm going to give it to you. That's a promise of inspiration. So he'll teach you all things. And you say, well, wait a minute. They're human beings and people forget. And we know that. People forget things. So they would have forgotten a lot of things. Well, look at this. And he will bring to your remembrance all that I said to you. We're not dependent upon them remembering. The Holy Spirit will do that. And he can do it, by the way. He's the one that guides in truth. So he will bring them everything that they need to write down that they have forgotten. He will bring it to their mind. And everything they need to know, he will bring it to their mind. And what they're inscripturating is the mind of God. We're not in any way dependent upon them for accuracy or for sufficiency. That comes straight from God through the Holy Spirit, who is called the Spirit of Truth. And then look at verse 13 in chapter 16. And when the Spirit of Truth comes, he will guide you into all truth. So do they need to be guided through the truth? Boy, it gets pretty intricate. I mean, it gets pretty... Peter says, Paul said some things that are kind of hard to understand. But he'll guide you into all truth. So he'll guide you. You don't have to be a whiz. I'll guide you through that. You'll get it right. He will not speak of his own initiative, but whatever he hears, he will speak. And that's what Jesus said. Jesus didn't speak of his own initiative because he was in a servant role. And he spoke what the Father said, when he said, and how he said, and to whom he said. And he will disclose to you what's to come. Look what he did. He's going to teach you all things. He's going to guide you through all of them. And oh yeah, all that in the past that you need to write down, he'll bring it to your remembrance. Yeah, but we're going to be writing about the future. He'll show it to you. Everything that's needed, and notice it is the role of the Holy Spirit to bring them to remembrance of the truth, to guide them in the truth, to teach them in the truth, and unveil. So when you're reading the future things, and most prominently would be when we're reading the book of Revelation. My goodness, how could anyone know that? And I'm telling you, and I have so many brothers and sisters that I love that see a lot of things that I don't know that are there. But look, when you see a helicopter there, if the original audience didn't see a helicopter, it's probably not a helicopter. I mean, you can just, it's authorial intent. What did the author mean by what he said, and what did the people understand that he meant, see? And so a massive amount of revelation is already explained in the Old Testament and other parts of the Bible, which was written by the Holy Spirit. So we are absolutely accurate when we say, John said, and we're reading this gospel, and we're absolutely accurate when we say, the Spirit of God said. They are one and the same here. And that is verbal plenary inspiration. Verbal, every word, plenary, every part is inspired by God. And yet, he incorporated the personality, the vocabularies, and all of that of the different individuals, so that you don't see it a lot in English, but when you get in the original language, I mean, they wrote very differently as we would write differently. I mean, they had different styles, and they used different words, and they used different ordering of words and so forth, and some of them are more complex. We would call people writing with complex sentences, and some write with more simple sentences, and they just did that. And God used all that, but every word is exactly what God wanted, period. We have that guarantee because of not the force, not the attribute, but the person, the Holy Spirit. So he is called the Spirit of Truth. Now, in chapter 15 and verse 26, he says again, when the helper, and so we're still talking about the comforter, the one who comes alongside of us, when the helper comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, that is the Spirit of Truth. Do you notice we've already seen Spirit of Truth about three times? Who proceeds from the Father, he will testify about me. There it is. So these are not in contradiction, that he's the Spirit of Truth. He's the revealer of truth. And he will reveal about Jesus. He will point to Jesus. That, so he is the Spirit of Truth, and he reveals the Word truth, and reveals the one who is the Word, the truth. He reveals the written truth, and reveals the person who is the truth. But if you'll notice, and it is really important, he will testify about me. He is not here to call attention to himself. He is not here to be exalted, though he is God. He is to be recognized for who he is. He is deity. He is a person within the triune God, but his role is to point people to Jesus Christ. And everything he does is about that. Even the inspiring of the Word of God is about pointing people to Jesus Christ. Everything we're going to talk about is always about that, to unveil Christ, unveil the truth about Christ. So he is not here to be exalted. And with good hearts and desires to honor God, sometimes people go too far in emphasizing the Holy Spirit. We emphasize Christ. We emphasize the role of the Holy Spirit as the Spirit of truth who brings this, who does these things, and we're praying and dependent in many ways because he is the one who reveals the truth. But it is always has to be that it is pointed at Christ. The reason the Holy Spirit is working is to lift up Christ. The reason we're doing what we're doing is to lift up Christ. The reason the Holy Spirit's doing what he's doing is to point people to Christ. The reason we're doing what we're doing is to point people to Christ so that they can see Christ in our life, so that we can honor him. It's all about lifting him up, because he doesn't lift himself up. You see, he's the servant. He humbled himself. So he humbled himself and God highly exalted him. But the role of the Holy Spirit is to exalt Jesus. And when we're exalting Jesus, we're in line with the Holy Spirit. When we're exalting the Holy Spirit, it doesn't mean we can't talk about the Holy Spirit. It doesn't mean right now what we're doing, we're learning, we're understanding. It does mean you have to keep it in the order that God has established. That God has established it. If you make it all about the Holy Spirit, and I have read books and I have listened to sermons over the years. It's been a long time, but I have listened, and when I was studying this intensely for several years, and I mean, I have heard it where the Holy Spirit was beyond a doubt the dominant thing, period. The dominant thing. And sometimes it'll be put in phrases like, well, they focus on Jesus, but they miss the Holy Spirit. Well, that could be true. But just because you focus on Jesus does not have anything to do with whether you're missing the Holy Spirit. And sometimes they'll say, well, Baptists are the people of the book, and we're the people of the Holy Spirit. Well, that's not, I wouldn't go telling people that if I knew theology. Because we should be people of the book, because it is the Holy Spirit who gave the book. He's the one giving us the truth. So that's what we have in the Holy Spirit. We have, and we're not through, by the way, but I'm not going to go over. We have a person, not a force, not an attribute. Why does everybody smile when I said that? It is the strangest phenomenon of the reactions of people that I do not understand. I don't know where you get that. But he is not a force. He is not an attribute. He is a person. He has a personality. He guides. He speaks. He hears. He acts. And his primary role is revealing truth about Jesus Christ, which is the new covenant. That's what he does. Let's pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, for the Holy Spirit. We are so dependent because we're dependent on the Scripture. We're dependent upon him doing a work in our life that we can't do. We're dependent when we're witnessing to people that he is there and he is working, doing what you said he would do. Because we can't get in their heart. We can't change a heart. We can't even understand our own heart, much less someone else's. And so, Lord, we are dependent for him to bring the truth. But the truth is always about the need to exalt Jesus Christ, who paid for our sin, reconciled the world to you, so that we could know you. We love you in Christ's name. Amen.